Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Andrew Boyd.
I've been asked to speak this morning on how to please the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not quite the title you gave me, but that's actually what it is. So, and the aim of it this morning, seeking the Lord and saying, what do you want, Father? Because we always speak for a purpose. So what's on your heart, Lord? And what I feel is on God's heart is to help us to please the Holy Spirit so that he can live more richly in our lives, to become more sensitive to him, and to recognize any way in which we may grieve or quench the Spirit. And because there's that element to it, there may be one or two ouch moments or challenges this morning. So are you up for that?
Yeah.
Good. All right, that's very good. So we'll see what happens there. But if the Lord speaks to you, and I'm sure he will this morning, he's going to spend a lot of time in his word, then whatever he says to you that touches you in your heart, if there's any sense in which he's speaking to you about ways in which we may grieve him or quench him, it's only to restore us. So it's gracious and it's reaching out to say, it's all right, I got you. So please just make a note of that and put it right so that we can be restored to him. That's God's heart for us. And the other thing is to learn to treasure the things that he does reveal to us, to really value whatever he says to us, whatever he shows to us, so that we can use them to the full. So, budgies, you are lovely. No, it's great. It's just...
I can put them in the kitchen, but they're happy.
They are a delight. So...
They're just larger now, don't they?
Sorry?
They're just larger now.
They do, yeah. No, they're responding to the word of God, so it's great. So can we describe the Holy Spirit? Who'd like to have a go? Please describe the Holy Spirit.
Breath of God.
Nice, yeah. Keep going.
Comforter.
Strengthener.
Presence.
Enabler.
Oh, good one.
Enabler. It's good. Enabler. Anything else?
Prince of Peace.
Okay.
Spirit of Jesus.
Amen. What is he like? Well, he's a person. Yeah. And you're describing those characteristics.
He reminds us of things.
Yeah.
He brings things to our memory.
Yes, he does. Mm. So what would you say... Well, I think you've already answered it, actually. What are his characteristics? What are his nature? Who's got Galatians 5, 22 to 23? Yeah, thank you, Fred.
Okay, so, can you be quiet, mate? Oh.
They're just cheering you on, Fred.
So here we go, then. So it's, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against all these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
That'll do. Thank you, Fred. So the fruit of the Spirit, it's not separate from who he is. This is who he is. And he is God. So what is God like? Love, first and foremost. Joy. Peace. You said forbearance. Other versions will say patience. Kindness. Gentleness. Oh, yeah.
Always.
Faithfulness. And self-controlled. That's who he is. So that's what he produces in our lives as we respond to him and as we walk with him. We become like him. These are not separate from him. They're not separate from us. This is who he is, what he's like, and this is what he does in our lives. So picture, if you can, somebody that you've known or know now who in your mind's eye embodies some of those qualities. Just let somebody come to mind. Do you think they're like that in some way? I wonder who you picture. I think of my mum, actually. Bless her. She's the first person that came to mind. There are other people I could think of. But her kindness, her gentleness was always there. So, who's got Ephesians 4, 1 to 3?
Me.
Thank you, Angelica.
Ephesians 4, 1 to 3?
Yep.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Lovely. So those are all expressions of the fruit of the Spirit. Who's got Ephesians 4, 11 to 16? Thank you.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, yes, as each part does its work.
Lovely. So it's a beautiful picture of the fruits of the Spirit and the life of the Spirit being expressed outwardly through each of us for the benefit of everybody else. Who's got verses 22 to 32, please? Thank you, Jan.
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger, clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and all kind, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Thank you, John. So we have, on the one hand, life, and on the other hand, death. We have, on the one hand, the life of the Spirit, and on the other hand, the life of the flesh. And we're told, live in this one. God says, choose life, so that you and your children might live. And that's it. Life to life. So choose life is the heart of God calling out to us. But we have a choice. And so sometimes that's depicted as, what clothes are you going to wear? What are you going to put on and what are you going to take off?
Yeah.
So we take off bitterness, we take off envy, we take off quarrelling. We choose, we have to choose, because the flesh still wants to do these things. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved, but we will only come into the fullness of our salvation when we are resurrected. In the meantime, our hearts cry, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. We're made of the dust of the earth. Let everything that you are, God, be seen in this earth, this life, me. All right? But it's a choice to put on and put off. So we're called not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So the way we would grieve, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By not living a life of love. It's extremely simple. That's it. God is love. All the fruit of the Spirit are the fruits of love. We live in love, we please God. How do we please the Holy Spirit? Love him and love your neighbour as yourself. Gosh, folks, it's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah, we can't do it without
the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we can't. But what we're called to do couldn't be simpler. Love God with all that you are. Love your neighbour like you love yourself. Simple. Anything else will grieve God and grieve your neighbour. If we grieve God, we'll grieve one another. If we grieve one another, we'll grieve God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Don't live a life of love. How do we make him happy? Live a life of love. Is this easy enough? Okay, I mean, it's so simple. So the Holy Spirit is a person. So you pictured a person just now who reminded you of the way the Holy Spirit is. I could look at Andrea. Andrea reminds me of who the Holy Spirit is. And I think about my dear old mum, bless her. How could you grieve the person in your mind's eye? What could you do, or what have you done at different times to grieve the person that came to your mind when I said, who reminds you of the Holy Spirit?
I was sort of thinking of my mum. She always had an unconditional love for me. So it doesn't matter what I'd done to her, her unconditional love would always right, you know, as a young kid, I was absolutely outrageous towards her. But her unconditional love oversaw that all the time. She loved me deeply from her heart, and it was an unconditional love. There's nothing I could do to distract that.
That's a wonderful thing about mums, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we can still grieve them. And to grieve is to cause sorrow, to cause pain, to cause suffering. So the love may be unconditional and it may persist, right? But we can still grieve them. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? In the same way as you would grieve your mother. In the same way as I would grieve my mother. By taking her for granted, by being rude, by being insensitive, by being, you know, all of these kinds. It's really simple. And we would do the same by being, it's effectively this, it's so simple. We grieve other people by being unloving. We grieve the Holy Spirit, God, by being unloving. Simple.
So isn't there a verse somewhere which says we grieve the Holy Spirit if we don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord?
Yeah.
I've not got it right. I
yeah.
It does say that.
Yeah. So what's the parallel with that? Well, just suppose, I don't know who came to your mind. Who came to your mind when you thought, what I asked you, who?
I'm not going to say.
Okay, don't say.
Somebody did, but...
Okay, well, let me talk about it. My mum, all right? And we've all been like, we've all been parents, right? So we've been saying, what happens when what you give to your children is not appreciated or acknowledged? It hurts, right? You think, oh, crikey, really? Do you have any idea how much trouble I went to? And you've discarded it, you've disdained it, you don't value it, you don't treasure it. So if we don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord, this is the greatest gift that God the Father has given to humanity. We don't acknowledge it, we take it for granted. How will it make the Father feel? It will grieve him. How will it make Jesus feel? How will it make the Holy Spirit feel? It will grieve him. We We need to treasure the good things that God gives us. So this passage on the fruits of the Spirit that we read in Galatians refers to unloving attitudes and behaviours that oppose the life of the Spirit within us. They contradict that new life. They're basically sin. So the Holy Spirit convicts us graciously with unconditional love.
That's it, yeah.
He never walks away from us. But we grieve him when we sin, and we grieve him when we ignore his conviction. So when he's going, Fred, hey, and you just shrug your arm away and steam on, we grieve him. Can you think back, I'm not asking you to share, but can you think back to a time when you have either ignored his conviction or taken him for granted and felt that sense of grieving God? I know when my first marriage broke up, which was a really horrible time, long protracted time that led to divorce, I took a very serious wrong turn right at the end of all of this. I said, God, cut me some slack. I've just had enough. Cut me some slack. Yeah, Frank.
Yeah, but he's generous, isn't he?
Oh, he's hugely generous. Yeah. But what I did, Frank, with that, I got into all kinds of trouble. And I went into gambling.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I remember, it wasn't for very long by the grace of God, but I remember, you know, in a movie, when something tense is about to happen, the violins start up, right? Yeah. That feeling inside of me, the kind of, inside of me, the strain of it, the pain of it, the smell of it, the feel of it, the discordant noise. Okay, lots of different ways to try and describe the way we feel when we're grieving God, when we're in sin. So that's the feeling that we have when we're grieving the Lord, and that's the feeling we give to God when we're grieving the Lord. And to others.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same feeling. We all know it and we live with it, and most of us in this room, if not right at this moment, and probably right at this moment, know the pain of that right now. From others who've grieved you and from recollection of grieving others. We know it. It's discordant. It's unharmonious. It's painful. And another example of how we can grieve God is when we refuse to forgive.
That's key, that is.
Absolutely key. Absolutely key. Absolutely key. We who have received mercy are obliged to give mercy. It's not an option. We're obliged to do it. So, sorry, as I said, there's some ouch moments today. But remember, what we're saying is, how do we please God? That's our focus. So God puts us with other Christians in a church because we need one another, especially when we're in trouble.
Exactly.
We really do. We need faithful friends to whom we've given the right and permission to speak into our lives. And let's not take that for granted. The fact that we're all in the same room together does not mean that has happened. But each of us needs not to exercise authority over another person, but to give the right to another person to be faithful friends, because we need faithful friends. So when the smell or the stench of my own sin reaches your nostrils, if I've given you the right, please be a faithful friend. And say, are you okay? Is there something we can pray about? Is there anything we can talk about here? Yeah. And if, so my question to you really, and don't answer it, is to whom have you given that right? Don't assume it. Don't take it for granted. Who have you given that right to be a faithful friend to you? Who are you accountable to? I'm not asking for a reply. It's part of the purpose why God has put us together in a body. There's another type of conviction the Holy Spirit wants to give us, and it's a much more cheerful one. And it's the conviction of the fullness of our faith. He wants to convince you, Andrea, you are a daughter of God. You are dearly loved, and he loves to walk with you. And as I shared with you on Wednesday, Frank, God loves to take your arm and walk with you. And in this season of your life where your arm needs to be held for the moment, he loves to walk with you. So he gives us the full assurance of faith. And much of our time in our ministry with one another, the prophetic, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, it's about encouraging one another towards that full assurance of faith. We're standing with each other and saying, it's all right, God's got you. Yeah, most of our time is that. So this is a primary conviction that the Holy Spirit brings to us, which is an absolute delight that you are loved, that you are delighted in, that you are treasured, and that he loves to walk with you.
I love the, actually we're singing in the nursing home, what is it, he walks with me into, have you heard that song? He walks with me
into, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. So he wants us, the Holy Spirit wants us to live in the fullness of all that Jesus has provided for us. And that is what will delight both us and the Holy Spirit. How do we delight God? To live in the fullness of everything he has for you. If your children reject your gifts, if your children don't use what you've given them, if they don't value, if they don't treasure what you've given them, they fall short. And the word says we all fall short of the glory of God. So here's an ouch question. Again, you don't need to answer it. Are you in the fullness of the glory of God right now? Okay, we're in Christ. But are we living in the full expression of the glory of God? My definition of a mature Christian is one who raises the dead consistently. I've never met one. I've met some who've raised the dead, but not consistently. I have never met a mature Christian. By that definition, I'm not, who lives in the fullness of all that God has for us, who enjoys absolutely the fullness of God. Therefore, we all fall short. Therefore, we all grieve the Holy Spirit. But the good news is that there is more mercy than there is sin. That we may have fallen short, but he didn't. He's the one that came. He's the one that says, hey, never mind how you smell, let's walk together. Come on, let's walk together.
Amen.
Yeah, and he's the one who loves us. He has sufficient mercy. He has sufficient grace. He has won the victory, and he will take us all the way through this life and the next to the fullness of all that he has for us. And that's how we choose to walk with him. Thank you, God. We're so grateful to you. We're so grateful.
I love the scriptures where it says, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And that's what builds us up, you know, the church builds us up. We've all got a part to play in this.
Yes, we do. We're
praying for each other.
Yes.
And we're growing together. God puts us into a church into a body of Christ, if you like, and then we start to grow and we pray for each other.
Hmm.
It builds itself up in love, as each part does as well. We've all got a part to play. That's the main part of Ephesians 5 and 2 or something.
And God never despises the fact that we're not living in the fullness of who he is. He only ever encourages us. It's the unconditional love you referred to earlier, Fred. Yeah. You know, we may fall short, and we do.
Yeah.
But your mum loved you unconditionally and always wanted the best for you, or whoever came to your mind. And God is just the same. He will never, ever give up. God is not mad with us. He has every right to be. But he is not mad with us. He loves us and he presses on with us. So I want to delight him. No, I want my life to be a delight to God, and I know that when my life is delightful to God, I will delight in God. It's all about delight. So how do we do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've looked at grieving the Holy Spirit. The other scripture we read out earlier is quenching the Holy Spirit. Who's got 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21, please, Andy?
Do not stifle the Holy Spirit.
Oh, wow.
Do not scoff at prophecies.
Ooh, okay.
But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good.
Mm.
Thank you. Okay. So there were
was that? 1 Thessalonians?
1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21. So the word you've used there is stifle. The word I've got in the NIV is quench. And the picture given here is of a fire which could be smothered to put the flames out. Stifle, smother, similar, aren't they? Or you can throw water over it, douse it, and put it out that way. So just imagine that there is a fire burning in your heart, and that fire is the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't have to imagine, because you have. That's why we're in this room. We have the fire of God burning in our hearts. So the word says to us, do not quench, do not extinguish that fire, quench it, put it out, suppress it, or stifle it. And there are two elements that really spoke to me in that scripture. When we take for granted what God shows us for ourselves, and secondly, when we do not offer the fruits of the Spirit to other people and operate in the gifts of the Spirit God has given us, those are the points where we quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, in terms of the ministry of the Spirit, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are never for you. They're always for you, for the rest of the room. So whatever gift God has given you is a gift of service to others. It's not a gift to elevate us. But it's always for other people, because love is always about the other person in the room.
That's right.
The most important person in the room is the one I'm looking at right now. Always. Kurt, you're the most important person in the room. Until I look at Andy, and then he is. But it isn't me. That's love, and that's exactly the way the Holy Spirit is in our lives. So how could we extinguish that? By not valuing and treasuring what God has done for you, and by not giving away what God has done for you to the others in the room.
Yeah, that's right. Do you love the fact that God says,
So here's the other element. Keep it till a bit, Fred. Here's the other element in that Thessalonians scripture. It says, hold on to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And that really struck me. The word means, it's obvious, it means take, keep, possess, make your own, hold fast. So we quench the Holy Spirit when we do not hold fast to what is good. So here's a question. Again, you don't need to answer it. When was the last time you wrote down a prophetic word or picture that the Lord gave you, that you held on to it? When was the last time that you prayed into it, looked up the scriptures related to it, applied it, to your heart, put right whatever was wrong that he was showing you, and changed your way of living in the light of what the Lord showed you. That's how to hold on to it. If we don't hold on to it, it's like as parents giving our kids a gift of money, which just burns a hole in their pocket, as my mum and dad used to say to me. The money's burning a hole in your pocket, isn't it? And tossing it away. It's taking it for granted. That grieves the Holy Spirit. We need to hold on to it. Who's got Luke 2:19, please?
I have.
Thank you.
But Mary kept all these things
and
pondered, meditated them in her heart.
Thank you. My version says Mary treasured up all these things. So here's the question. Are we treasuring what God has given us? Are we holding on to it, keeping it, possessing it, wringing the life out of it, making the very best of it, applying it to our lives, responding in prayer to it, looking it up in the scriptures? Are we doing that? Or are we just so used to it that actually we're spoilt rich kids who are given a lot and don't appreciate what we've got? Because there'll always be more tomorrow.
Wow, good.
Let's treasure up what the Lord has given us. Amen. And here's the thing, just look around the room for a second. God has given us to one another. Do we treasure each other? Or do we take each other for granted?
No. We don't take anything for granted.
Well, here's another ouch. Sorry. You see, if we take what God has given us for granted, it's one step away from treating God with contempt. Okay, this does get better. So the second way to quench the Spirit. This is a handbook on how to quench the Holy Spirit today. Wow. It's a handbook on how to make him happy. It's by withholding God's gifts from one another. So we're told, fan into flame the gifts that God has given you. And I'm looking at gifted people around this room. Fan it into flame, because the gift that God has given you is not for you. It's a gift of service for Fred, for Kurt. And if you withhold it, sorry, I'm not looking at you really, Frank. If you withhold it, you're withholding it not only from God, but from Fred or Andy, whoever. And that grieves the Holy Spirit, and it quenches. It's like throwing the water on the fire. Whatever God has given you. And there's loads of different gifts in this room today. They're to be fanned into flame. We have a fire burning in our hearts. And when we withhold those gifts from one another, we're doing as Jesus says in Matthew 24. And as much as you did it to the least of these of mine, you did it to me, and as much as you didn't do it to me. We're withholding it from God and from others. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So let's not be so self-conscious about the things, the hunches, the pictures, that is it right, Lord? Is it wrong, Lord? Dare I say that? Let's actually...
Or do that, laying hands on people.
Yeah. Let's step out. Let's step out. And within an accountable body, we can do that. Because if we get it wrong, it's okay. Somebody will say, that wasn't quite appropriate. But we won't. Nobody's going to be put down. The whole purpose is to build up, right? But let's be confident in the gifts that we have. So, you know, when Paul writes in Corinthians about not all speaking in tongues at the same time over the top of one another. You look at the whole context of that section there. If we're selfish in our expression of these gifts, and I'm talking about overdoing it now rather than underdoing it, okay? A moment ago it was underdoing it, now I'm talking about overdoing it. If we're chaotic, disorderly, self-centered or insensitive in the way I exercise my ministry to others, right, then it's just chaos. What then happens is that we grieve one another and we grieve the Holy Spirit. So we can underdo it or we can overdo it, but let's get it just right. Let's get it just right because we love Him. So we're called to neither grieve nor quench. And I'm going to finish off very shortly here. Ephesians 4:30, we spoke about the beginning. Who's got that one? I think, Jan, you had that. Just verse 30, please. And Andy, could you be ready with your Thessalonians passage again, please?
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Amen. And Andy, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21, please. Thessalonians 5:19 to 21.
Right. Do not quench the Spirit. Well, this is a different version. Do not despise prophetic messages, but test all things. Hold fast what is good.
Yeah. So God doesn't want us to grieve Him. Rather, He wants us to delight in Him and to find delight in us. In the same way, when we're together, we don't want to grieve one another. We want to find delight in one another. I want you to be able to delight in me. Okay? I delight in you. I want you to be able to delight. It's the same. It's so simple. It's just loving one another. That's all. And giving away what God has given us. It's so simple. He wants us to burn bright with His goodness.
Amen.
And to live in His fullness. So how do we do this? Fred, I think it's you. Galatians 5 again, please. 22 to 25. This is how we do all of this. I think you might be the side of Ephesians. Galatians 5, 22 to 25.
So 22, so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
That'll do. Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Seeing that we live in the Spirit, and all of this is impossible just by our will, just by our flesh, just by our character. It's impossible, but we're not called to live better lives. We're called to live godly lives, filled with the Spirit of God. So since we live by the Spirit, that's the only way we can live. That's the only life we've got. Let's keep in step with Him.
Amen.
Let's keep in step with the Spirit, day by day, moment by moment.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.